Oh, we knew this was coming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. General Motors just announced it lost $6 billion in the first quarter, the first 3 months of this year, and it burned through more than $10 billion in cash. It has an end-of-the-month government deadline to restructure or file for bankruptcy. There's been a lot of talk of late over these bank stress tests, results of which are set to be made public today. It's a who's who list of banks that could need more capital to survive the fallout. From Washington, here's Tamara Keith.
The news has been drip, drip, dripping out for days. Bank of America will need $34 billion. Wells Fargo, Citibank, and others will need to raise substantial cash. Chase and Goldman handled their spin on the financial treadmill just fine. Well, today it's out with the unconfirmed reports and in with the official results. And Scott Talbot with the Financial Services Roundtable, an industry group, says banks will be jumping to action.
You can't say Bank X will need $5 billion, thank you, good night. They have to then say, here is our plan for raising that capital.
He says they've been working on those plans for a while and will have something to say in the hours after the results are released.
Even if it's an outline to show that they are on top of it, they're planning ahead, you want to end on a positive note.
Banks told they need a bigger buffer will have 6 months to raise the capital. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Ahead of those reports, stocks posted some gains. The Dow added more than 100 points to close above 8,500 yesterday. Today, Asian markets had quite the jolt. Nikkei added 4.5%, and European markets are up by 1% to 2% right now. It's the 10th anniversary of the Bank of England's decision to sell a boatload of its gold reserves, but not much to celebrate. Other European countries did the same, and in all, billions of dollars in losses, according to the Financial Times. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us now from London. Stephen, why the decision to do this in the first place?
Well, you could describe this as a kind of anti-gold fever. The Bank of England and the other central banks that followed its example here in Europe felt they'd done a pretty good job curbing inflation. They'd maintained the value of their paper currencies. They felt they didn't need gold anymore. And there's always been this idea, you know, the British economist John Maynard Keynes called gold a barbarous relic, a not very sophisticated store of value. It costs money to keep and insure. Unlike bonds and other securities, these central banks decided they'd be better off putting more of their reserves into interest-bearing assets.
So they're not better off, Stephen, 10 years later. The scale of the loss is pretty big, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's reckoned that they sold between them about 4,000 tons of gold at an average price of $280 an ounce. It's now around $900 an ounce. It's reckoned that between them they lost roughly $40 billion.
Wow. So the European countries selling the gold, who's been buying all this gold?
Private investors in recent years, the recent doubts about the stability of the whole financial system have been very good for gold. Doubts about the dollar has been good for gold too. Some central banks too, especially in emerging economies, have been buying. China has almost doubled its gold reserves and Russia's been buying too.
Yeah, and the United States?
You'll be relieved to learn that the U.S. Federal Reserve did not follow the European example. They hung on to their hoard of the yellow metal. A very fortunate decision, as it turns out, over the past couple of years at least. Just about the only asset to glitter has been gold.
All right. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joining us. Stephen, thank you so much.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America, committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. American Public Media presents A Better Life, Creating the American Dream, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
In the wake of this fallout, people are thinking local, as in growing their own food or keeping animals to lay it. Owners say hens churn out delicious, fresh eggs for just a few bucks a week. But we're not talking rural Indiana or the hills of Tennessee. We're talking about downtown Philly, where having chickens is against the law. The feathery facts from Joel Rose.
At first glance, Zoe's backyard looks typical for a house in West Philadelphia. There's a big wooden deck and a yard extending another 10 feet back. And then there's the chicken coop.
Come here, girls. Come here. Come here, girls. What do I got?
The four birds converge from all corners of the yard, pecking vigorously at the sunflower seeds she dispenses.
The white one is kind of the ugliest, in my opinion, but she's the best layer. And I was reading somewhere that the uglier the chicken, the better the layer.
Zoe spends about $1.50 a week on chicken feed. In exchange, she gets 2 to 4 fresh eggs a day.
They're really good. They just taste eggier.
But there's a reason she doesn't want me to use her last name. Like many cities around the country, Philadelphia prohibits backyard chickens.
They defecate everywhere. So if somebody's not really diligent in cleaning, I mean, it can get all over the place.
Tara Chernecki is interim director of Philadelphia Animal Care and Control. She says chickens can pose a health hazard if they attract rodents. And she says the birds need a lot of space.
Chickens are like little roosting guys. They like to run around. They do not like to be cooped up in a small area. It's just not fair to them.
But backyard chicken enthusiasts disagree. They're petitioning the city to make chickens legal in Philadelphia, just like they are in hundreds of other cities around the country.
Chicken, chicken, chickens. Come on.
Thomas Kreese keeps 2 chickens in Redwood City, California, a suburb of San Francisco. He writes a blog called UrbanChickens.net, where he tracks successful chicken legalization efforts from Asheville, North Carolina, to Vancouver, British Columbia.
There seems to be more of a push towards, hey, this makes good economic sense for me to be able to have a little bit more food security. I can grow my own garden. I can raise my own chickens for eggs.
And Kreese says one man's chicken poop is another man's fertilizer. He admits that if the chickens are left unattended, they'll make a meal out of his vegetable garden. But he says the trade-off is worth it.
Now I'm going to open the latch to the coop itself. And when I look in, wow, I have 3 eggs.
I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.